Blog Talk Radio.
You know my name, Lord. Does the Lord know your name? Amen. Glory, 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 glory. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. I just want to thank everyone. Once again, I'm excited because God does know my name. Be blessed with the music, and I will be right back. because he will hold your hand. He will lead. He will guide. He will direct you into all truth. Amen. We just praise God for his magnificent power. We praise him for his name. We praise him for who we are, who he is in our life, and who we are to him. Amen. Don't you know that God loves you? God loves you in spite of. God loves you anyway. Amen. Well, we are, again, just honored and excited about moving forward in the things of God, moving forward in the things of God. Amen. That's what it's all about, growing. It's all about becoming what God called us to become. Amen. Because we're not going to be here always. We're not going to be here always. And during the time that God have us here, we want to complete every assignment. We want to complete every assignment, every task, every mission that the Lord has set before us to do. Amen. Is the enemy going to act up? Of course he is. Is the enemy going to show out? Of course he is. Because he don't want you to walk in God's best. He don't want you to complete the assignment that God have called you to do. So we're here, Kingdom Builders Development Institute, to be developed and to develop others. God is preparing the way. He's preparing the way. And what is he preparing the way for? For the day of the Lord. Amen. Because he's coming back. And he made it plain. He made it plain. He didn't skip a step. He's coming back. What is he coming back for? What is he coming back to? Coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. Do you believe that you are the church? Do you believe that God has purpose on you in your life for others? Amen. But God can't use us when we are in bondage, if we're not walking in the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his word. Amen. Those are three prayer points. Father, I want to thank you right now for your awesomeness. I want to thank you for your greatness. I want to thank you for your power. Thank you for El Elyon. I want to thank you because you're the God of all gods. Father, there's no good thing that you withhold from us. If we walk uprightly, Lord God, we desire your ways, your will, Lord God. Father, we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would cover this line with the blood of Jesus. Everyone that's on this line, God, that they would know you in a more intimate way. God, that we would know that we would know what season we're in. Thank you, Father. That we would know what you said in Ecclesiastes, God. You said to everything, hallelujah, there's a season. To everything, there's a time. So, Father, we want to know the time that we're in. We want to know, Lord God, what you would have us to do, what you have us to say, where you would have us to go, Lord God, and that we would know the truth. And the truth, hallelujah, will make us free. How many know that the truth will set you free? So, Father, we thank you that you're setting us free today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God knows your name. God knows everything about us. We can't hide. We can't relent. We can't cover up. We can't push it under the rug. You know, it used to be people would push things under the rug and you thinking that it's hidden and nobody know, but it's still there. You're thinking that it's over with, but it has not been dealt with. So we're going to be talking about walking and living in freedom. Come on, say that. Say that to yourself. We're walking and living in freedom from bondage. Amen. Whom the Son set free. I want you to say that to yourself. Glory to God. whom the Son set free is free indeed. And Lord, I thank you because you have set me free. Amen. I want you to be so kind to get your Bible, and let's turn to, well, first let's go to John. And matter of fact, you can read this at your leisure, but it's going to be one of my points that I'm going to make. I want you to really ask God to give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. Somebody say knowledge of his word. Amen. So in your spare time, free time, I want you to take the time and read John 8. And I don't know if elders on the line or not, but John 8, and we're going to read verses 12 to through 51. Amen. But I want to make note of two scriptures in that passage, one of them being, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. That's verse 32. Then I want to go to verse 36. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 36 says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, that's the S-O-N, Son, ye shall be free indeed. Why don't you say it to yourself? If the Son of God make you free, you shall be free indeed. What does that mean? That means no matter what no one says, you're walking in spiritual freedom. Amen. If you embrace the Lord making you free. What makes us free? It's the truth that makes us free. You know, be keen and understand that when you're around any situation and it's not the truth, or a person is not telling the truth, we know that the enemy is the father of lies. So we know who we're dealing with. We know what we're dealing with. So we can't be deceived by Satan's devices. Amen. So the truth, we must know. The truth shall make us free. So these verses are speaking to us of freedom by knowledge of the truth. See, we will notice that in this declaration that's made, this was made by the Lord Jesus. It was in these words about the truth making free. The truth make you free immediately. Why? Because if you got something that was swept under the rug because you don't want to deal with it, hallelujah. But once you understand what's under that rug and why is it there, what happened, how do you handle that, you can't just say, let's sweep it under the rug, let's forget about it. It's got to be dealt with because more than likely, hallelujah, glory to God, more than likely, there's demons involved that need to be exposed. So we can't allow lies, witchcraft, demonic activity, we cannot allow it to live. Because if we allow that those spirits to live, guess what happens? You'll be tormented in different ways. You'll be lied on. You'll be talked about. So it has to be dealt with. Amen, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. You know, when you allow the spiritual realm to activate in the natural, guess what happens? Those demons start getting deeper. They start multiplying. They go get their auntie, uncle, and cousins and friends, and they come all onto your house. So we're talking about being free from bondage. Living in a place of freedom. Living in a place of freedom where you can literally do spiritual warfare with the word of God and cause those demons to flee. Because the Bible says if you resist the enemy, he'll flee. If you resist him, amen. Come on, we just really need to walk in our spiritual freedom. and understand that the enemy come to blind us, to trick us, to kill us, to destroy us. Amen. The enemy does not want us to be free. If he sets you free, you might do more than what you're doing, and then God might be pleased with us. And then before you know it, you're on your way to heaven anyhow. God bless everyone on the line. I want you to know that Jesus was talking about whom the Son set free is free indeed. It was these words about the truth making free. It immediately rise in those to whom he was speaking to. See, the whole question was about bondage. Their reaction, they had an instant reaction to his word. And it was to suggest that they were in bondage. Do you know anyone in bondage? Do you know anyone that need to be set free? Do you know anyone that you know that they're in bondage? So what do? We can't help them, so we push it under the rug, or we say, I'm going to pray for you. You know, we're in a season, hallelujah, when them demons start activating, whether it's in a family, friend, or a loved one, when they start activating, call out those spirits. But I tell you one thing, we have to be equipped and qualified to call those spirits out. We have to be equipped and qualified because, see, those demons are not playing. Too many of our Christians, believers, we playing. You know, they say America play too much. We play too much because these demons are not playing. They're taking our children. They're taking our young men. They're taking our families. They're taking exactly what they said they come to do, kill, steal, and destroy. And see, God has set us free that we may know what our mission is, that we're not all over the place doing this and doing that, but we're focused on finishing because guess what? It is very important that we're free. It's crucial that we're free because in order to be free, then we can cause the demons to flee. But if we're in bondage, hallelujah, and we're trying to pray a demon out, but we're in bondage, it's not going to work. Amen. A house divided against itself will fall. But listen, the ones that Jesus was speaking to, their instant reaction to his words that was saying that they were in bondage, they said to Jesus, we have never yet been in bondage to any man. Well, of course, the first thing that the enemy or person going to do when you bring correction is they're going to get in denial, or they're going to begin to start defending themselves, or maybe they'll make some excuses, or they'll try to switch it up on someone else, different situation. So what these men said, they were saying, listen, we have not yet been in bondage to any man. And in so saying, they gave themselves away. Amen. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Elder if he's able to read for me John 8. And because I want you to have a good understanding of the scripture, the text, what I'm expounding on. Amen. Let me just see if Elder's able to read for us. Glory to God. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. If you'd be so kind to read those verses for me.
John 8:2. What's the scripture?
Can you speak up a little bit because we can barely hear. I can barely hear you.
Yes. You want me to read John 8?
Yes. If you would read John chapter 8 and read verses 12 through 51. And I hope everyone have their Bible so they can read along with us. Amen. It's fun reading together. It was
Amen.
When Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. Amen.
Okay, I'm reading from the NIV version, and it states, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light, the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you, amen, you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they ask him, where is your Father? Amen. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offering were put. Yet no one seized him because his hours had not come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, kill himself. Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son set you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, say Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the work of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answer him, aren't you right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Let's hear to the reading of the word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The word of God is so blessing, and all you're getting, get an understanding. So we want to know that God has set us free, and we're free indeed. I mean, they were having a conversation. He was having a conversation with the Pharisees. And you see how they jumped the gun, how they accused Jesus, and they had to get under the covering and protection of being Abraham's seed. And then the first thing they said was, we have never yet been in bondage to any man. And in saying that, they gave themselves away. You know, the enemy will tell you exactly where you're coming from if you listen. The enemy will identify himself if you listen. So you have to try the spirit by the spirit so you'll know if it's God, so you'll know who you're dealing with. Sometimes it may be a loved one. And because you love that person, you might let them go ahead on and do a little manipulation and lying and flying. You know, if I'm lying, I'm flying, all this old stuff. But we don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. And the spirit and flesh don't mix. So sometimes when you have to deal with fleshly issues, you have to deal with it firmly. You can't play with those demons. Amen? And you always know that the Lord will lead, guide, and direct you. So what was Jesus doing? Jesus was telling them what they was, right? He was like, hey, you're in bondage. You belong to the devil. No, we don't do that because we tiptoe it through the tulip. You know, we don't come straight forward and let the enemy know we know who you are. I mean, you know, yeah, we do it in love, but if it wasn't love, you wouldn't do it at all. Amen? Amen. But Jesus went to the temple and tore up when they were doing things that was not godly. So to everything, there's a season under the sun, and this was a particular situation. They showed how utterly blind they were. They completely justify the words with which this portion is making a mention of. When Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, he that follow me shall not walk in darkness. There's no need for a light if there's no darkness. There's no need to be set free if you're not in bondage. So the Lord, Jesus made that statement that he was the light. He knew right well how deep the darkness was. He was aware. He was walking in the spirit. But they were not aware of that darkness. So therefore, they saw no need for Jesus' light. See, sometimes people will see no need for what you have to offer, the gift that you bring to the table, the blessing that you are. You can be overlooked. But guess what? Let them keep doing it because it's not about you anyway. It's about being liberated enough to understand that that's making you free. See, they were not aware that they needed help. Do you know anyone that's not aware of the sin that so easily besets you? You could be in denial And so, therefore, they felt like, hey, I'm good. I don't need to be liberated. It was just wonderful how this whole chapter justified him and declaring himself. Jesus was declaring himself. He wasn't bragging. He wasn't care. I'm the light.
Normally, when a person starts saying, hey, I'm the stuff, I'm it, you know, you're going to get some haters. But Jesus said, I'm the light.
And as he was saying that, he was saying, hey, I'm the liberator. Because he was saying that because of the existing darkness, the existing bondage. So although those to whom he was speaking to, they was unconscious of what they needed. They was blind to what light they needed to be able to see. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, is nothing like understanding where you are, what you need. It's okay to need deliverance. It's okay to need to be set free. It's okay to be corrected. It's okay to not know some information. It's okay. But what's not okay is to be in bondage and then be in denial at the same time. See, this chapter, it brings out the fact and the nature of the darkness. It brings out the fact and the nature of the bondage. And then show the way how to get delivered. All the answers are in the Word. And that way to get delivered is the Lord Jesus himself. Listen to what they said. They said, and I'm going to repeat this again, we, all of us demons, have never yet been in bondage. Now, we knew that was a lie. We will show them four ways, at least in which they were in bondage. Let me say this. They did not recognize any one of those demons. They were proven to be in darkness by what they uttered. Let me make a few points. See, first of all, he will make it perfectly clear when someone is in bondage to the law. See, that law stood over them as a master, as a judge, as something from which they could not get clear. So they could not escape from. It was no escape because they was under the law. And sometimes when you're under the law, it will put you in bondage. Amen. They had to capulate by compulsion. Let me make it plain. They were in the way of bondage to the law. And see, in verse 11, the elder was reading in the same chapter. It make mention that we will, I'm going to make note of, so that, and I want you to make note of how to discern when someone is in bondage. Usually, the enemy going to tell you. If you be quiet and you listen, the enemy will expose himself. It gives you an opportunity to try the spirit by the spirit. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy going to always try to lie his way out. Amen. You can't fix it up. You can't clean it up. When you see the spirit of lies, you can look for more lies. You can look for more deception. You can look for more confusion. You can look for more. So we have to be keen to understand when the enemy is in our ear gate, when he began to speak. So we take authority over it with the truth. It's the truth that make us free. Amen. It's the truth that will bring us out of bondage. We can't stay in denial. We can't try to cover it up. I'm telling you, your spiritual freedom, my spiritual freedom, our spiritual freedom is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Don't sit back
and let any demons populate your atmosphere, dominate your destiny. You have to take authority. And that's why it's important that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the word of God is something that we have to ask God for. We say, Lord, allow the spirit of wisdom to rest upon me. Father, give me revelation of situations so I won't be deceived by Satan's devices. And Father, give me knowledge of the word of God. And then Elder was reading one of the verses where it talked about when you know, when you belong to God, you hear his voice. So it's important that we hear his voice. It's important that we know his voice. And when we know God's voice, guess what? A stranger, somebody say a stranger, you won't follow. You won't agree with. Why? Because it does not line up with the word of God. Because it does not, I'm going to say it again, it does not line up with the word of God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to play just a short commercial break. It's going to be short, and I'll be right back. Yes, yes. You can't run, hallelujah, and you can't hide. This is something that we have to deal with. One day we're going to leave this earth, and our destiny is determined on how we live in today. How you living? How are you living? Amen. Glory to God. Being obedient to God's word. Being obedient to God's word. I'm going to say it again, being obedient to God's word. The truth is what makes us free. Amen. God wants us to live in spiritual freedom. He don't want us to be in bondage. Amen. He wants us to take authority over everything that's not like God. Because guess what? He is a consuming fire. And when he comes, guess what? He answers by fire. Isn't that awesome? Because he's going to burn up everything that's not like him. But let's get back to the word teaching for today. See, this woman had been taken into adultery. And in the very act, now in the law, Moses commanded us to be stoned. Amen? That was under the law. What thou saith though. So of course, it was an utterly illegal act of theirs, adultery. So they had to recognize courts and the laws for such a case. So when the law was administrated, they had no business to take away from the proper quarters and bring it into a private setting, because it was the law of the land and it had to be dealt with openly, not privately. And especially this situation in where they had the woman and the man that was caught in adultery, but they don't make mention of the man. So, but the man, he could do anything to obtain an end, but he was not addressed. It was the woman they addressed, talking about the law that will put you in bondage. See, they was trying to get her entrapped. And, you know, when Jesus said what? He said, go and sin no more. She was forgiven. Amen. She was forgiven. Amen. And I want to go a little deeper in that area. When we were talking about, no, that was earlier, but I want to talk about when you're in bondage, how you are entrapped. See, sometimes when you are in bondage, a man's ways look right in his eyes. The Bible says, but in the end, there's destruction. So sometimes we might say, oh, that's okay. It looks okay. I'm doing okay. That's going to work out. But at the end, it's destruction. So we got to try the spirit by the spirit so we'll know if this is what God would have us to do. So the woman was caught in adultery. Amen. And they was in the Sanhedrin court. There was a judicial court. But I want you to notice that in this text, an issue rose up, and Moses said, what sayest thou? Will he uphold Moses? If he do so and pronounce judgment, he take the place of the Sanhedrin. And he also immediately came into conflict with the Roman authority because they was in subjection to the law, and they had to administrate the law. And see, at this time, do you think that Moses' law would supersede the Romans' authority? Will he set aside Moses' law? What did Jesus do? See, we're not under the law. Jesus is the lawmaker. We're under grace now. But when Jesus told her, go and sin no more, he told her about the husband, and she told him about her situation. Of course, he already knew. But it was like a trap. It was a trap. So they didn't like the fact that Jesus released her. They wanted her to be stoned. You know, and Jesus had to tell them, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he stooped down, you know the story, and he began to write a little while in the dirt. And the word says, be set free. I'm going to say it like that. Go and sin no more. So they went out one by one, beginning from the elders into the last person. So do you say that they are not in bondage to the law? See, he had brought the law home to them, which they were trying to bring home on this woman. So they were wanting to stone her. But she didn't. She wasn't caught in adultery by herself. I don't think so. But they were dealing with her. And Jesus, he had turned the weapons onto the accuser. And that's what the accuser tried to do to us. He's the accuser of the brethren. They thought that they stood well with Moses, you know, having come under the ostracism, Moses, and they could not stand up to the law, but they wanted to stand up to the law of Moses. See, that woman would have been stoned, but they could not, because the law judged them and condemned them. Jesus is the lawmaker. So I want to make sure you understand, not only can you be in bondage, but you can be in bondage to tradition. You could be in bondage to your way of thinking. You could be in bondage to making your law the law of the land. It don't have to be God's will. but it could be your will, but it's right to you. But God is far from it. So that's why it's important that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the Bible says all this other stuff will be added. Amen. When the Bible says thou shalt not. Amen. So I just want to say that we have to put it in our spirit that there are certain things that God wants us to be free from. He wants us to understand that the way sometimes we can think a certain way and it's not God's way. We can be what the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. Listen, you don't look at it. We don't look at it like that. If you commit sin, you're in bondage and you're a servant to it. So God was speaking. And when he was saying, you know, hey, are you in bondage to sin? You know, sin violates God. The Bible says God hates sin. And if he hates sin, guess what? And sin is in the camp. He said, I won't dwell with you because he want to dwell in an unclean temple. So that's why we have to be very cautious and careful that we examine ourselves, acknowledge him in all our ways so he can direct us, and don't be a know-it-all. You know, be a help-me-all. You want to help. You want to get help, and you want to stand corrected. Amen. So you can be in bondage, and you can miss God's best because you think that you've already arrived. Amen. And I had a few other things I want to talk about, but I'm not going to go further. I just want to say that one of the scriptures that we was reading said, you shall die in your sin. We don't want to die in our sins. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this cometh the judgment. So that means, and there is no escaping. So you are in bondage to judgment. That is, judgment stands as a master of the situation for every sinner. So we have to understand the different judgments that's going to come. We got a judgment for the saints and a judgment for the ain'ts. Amen. A judgment for the saints and a judgment for the ain'ts. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Two judgments. A judgment for the saints and a judgment for the ain'ts. Amen. We're going to be judged differently than the ain'ts. The unbelievers. God wouldn't dare judge us the same way that he's going to judge the saints, the ain'ts. Amen. We got the white throne judgment. Amen. And then we got the judgment seat of Christ. These two coming judgments, which one are you going to be in? Which one? Amen. I want you to take the time and learn about the two judgments because the white throne judgment is only for unbelievers. That's when it says that every deed that you've done to this body, you're going to be judged by. He was talking to the unbelievers. And then the judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. Amen. And then when is the judgment? The great white throne judgment is going to be after the millennium. And then after the rapture and before the marriage supper of the Lamb is the judgment seat of Christ. That's when that judgment is going to happen. And then when it talks about what is the witness, the white throne judgment and the book of life. And in the judgment seat of Christ, each person is going to give account. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So the Bible said, in all you're getting, get an understanding. And what is the role of work? See, sometimes people think that you can work your way to heaven. It's not true. It's not true. As a saint, it's based on it, we're going to be get rewards. We're going to get crowns. We're going to either be denied a crown. Listen, we got something to look forward to. Amen. And condemnation and degree of suffering is for the unbelievers, the white throne judgment. And then what is the final result for these judgment seats? You got the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. Here you got eternal condemnation. That's that hell fire that you're going to burn, 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 and you're going to wish that you couldn't get out. But for the saints, we're going to, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, we're going to be rewards, going to be bestowed upon us, and we're going to be withheld. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So what's the issue? We got to be faithful. We have to be faithful. We have to do the work that him that sent us. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible said he set us free. If he set us free as believers, why would he turn around and send us to hell? See, it's the truth that make you free. So don't let nobody make you feel condemned of your past. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you believe that he died upon the cross and didn't stay dead and he is the Son of God, and you confess with your mouth that he is the Son of God, the Bible says, thou shall be free. The Bible says you're saved. Amen. With Jesus, not two-faced it, and he's not bipolar. He's a keeper of his word. And if you want to learn more about the two judgments, I printed out a copy, a chart. Everything is scripture-based, that you'll get an opportunity to look at it, learn it with all scriptures to let you know that our goal to be in the judgment seat of Christ. Not in the white throne judgment. Amen. The great white throne. That is for only for unbelievers. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited because I understand that we're in a situation that's a win-win. We don't lose. You know, they say we don't die. When Elder was reading, said you won't see death. You won't. You're going to leave this body, but you're going to be sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. So that's why it's incumbent upon us to learn the word, do the word, forgive, forget, let that stuff go. If you got to correct somebody, do it the best that you can in love and keep it moving, people of God. Amen. We're talking about walking and living in freedom from bondage. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Glory to God. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for just all those that are sowing into the ministry. I want to just give you update, a report. We're moving forward. We will be in our we will be having our church service on Sunday at 8 a.m. and we will be at 823 Main Street. That's in the great city of Royal Oak. And I want to thank everyone that's sowing into the ministry. You can, and those that haven't sold or haven't partnered with us, I want to encourage you to do so. You can go to www.giveify.com and you can sow. Look for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. You can also download that app on your phone and it'll make it easy for you to sow. You don't have to say, I can't find it. I'll tell you, go where you grow, because we have some programs in place and we're going to move forward in the things of the kingdom. I encourage you to join us on Mondays and, I'm sorry, Wednesdays and Fridays. We will be on our strategically targeted prayer line. You can join us and I will give you the number. You can reach, you can call in. It's at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. and then 5 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 a.m. Pacific Time. Amen. Our number is area code 848-220-3100. That's 848-220-3100. And just type in Prayer Works. Amen. That's 772-937-9675 is the passcode. You can join us. We are taking prophetic prayers. And also right now, if you are an intercessor, we want to welcome you to join in with us, because we're going in deep and we're going to tear down everything that's not like God. You can join us, send your prayer request in, and we'll be more than happy to touch base with you. You can call us at our home office, area code 313-583-9739. And one of our ministerial staffs will be more than happy to help you out. Amen, amen, amen. Elder and I send you much love. We want to let you know that we appreciate all that you're doing. Stay faithful and just be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. Be lifted up and connect yourself with people that believe that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. We love you. Have a supernatural rest of your day.